Now, we're going to be looking, our main passage is going to be coming out of John 4 today. You should have the notes in your bulletin. We're going to be talking about evangelism today. We've kind of been breaking down this whole thing and walking through what the New Testament church is supposed to look like, and we decided last week, without a doubt, our call is to discipleship. And if it's to disciple other people, that discipleship process has to start somewhere, and that starts as we evangelize the people. And so evangelism, this is kind of like 101. This is our just down-to-earth first class in this. And I know many of you have probably taken a lot of different trainings on evangelism, but evangelism is very important. And so really, I think we'll just break it down to the simplest thing. The word literally just means to bring or announce good news. What better news is there than the fact that Jesus died for our sins and he offers that free gift of salvation to everybody who will receive him? Now that's good news. And so whenever we take that good news and we proclaim or we preach this gospel, this good news, it's called evangelism. It's to bring that good news to a people that need to hear it. I can tell you guys, don't think that just because a person's heard it one time, that's good enough. Because it's actually a proven fact. Most people have to hear it at least 7 times before they even begin to consider it. So like it needs to be repeated, okay? Not even necessarily just by us, but maybe by us. Maybe by you and the next person who comes along, the next person. So we're planting seeds that are given a chance to grow. I want you to understand in that the description of the armor in the Bible, in Ephesians, we know that armor is there to protect us spiritually. And I've had the children up here before, and they've kind of named off the different parts of the armor. What is one of the parts of the armor? I'll give you a little hint. It goes on our feet, right? I heard somebody saying it. Yes, Hannah. It's the shoes of the gospel of peace. So it's the feet that are shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Okay? Here's the deal, guys. You know why I think so many people are living defeated lives in the Christian church today? It's because we're forgetting part of our armor oftentimes. We're not going with the gospel. We're not taking it with us. We're not intending to walk out of the house each day asking God, help me have someone that I can present the gospel to today. And that's part of our armor. That's part of what protects us is to be these... to be his evangelist, to take this good news, okay? If we notice in this, evangelism, to evangelize, the word is actually a verb, okay? And if we know our parts of English, we know that a verb means it's an action word, okay? So to evangelize is not a passive thing, it's an active thing, okay? So this is something we're actually going to have to be actively involved in. It's an action word. So first of all, it's the first step of the discipleship process for somebody, right? This is what we decided last week. Person can't, you know, it's all part of discipleship. I never just divide up and say, okay, this is evangelism and that's discipleship, because until we start learning about Jesus, we can't even make a decision for him. Until we start learning from Jesus, we really can't make a decision for him. So it's all part of the same, and then from that point on, the discipleship process should continue, okay? But it's that first step in that discipleship process. The second thing that we notice about evangelism is that it's an outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? You can't do this on your own, and nor am I expecting you to. I'm not saying you need to muster up the strength and the... And so really, it's not something that we can just learn all the steps of and then we'll have everything we need. It's nice to learn some steps. But guys, really the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what we need most of all. Okay? So we just need to be asking God to fill us so that we can do this. And the more God fills us, you know what we'll find out? The more you won't be able to resist doing it. When you're filled up with Jesus, you're just going to want people to know about Jesus. Amen? All right. It's going to require action. I don't know how many different ways I can put that, but it requires action. Sometimes we want it just to kind of accidentally happen. I think that we've got to be a little bit more proactive about it, okay? So as the Holy Spirit fills us, we ask God for opportunities, and once we get those opportunities, then we do something about it, okay? So doing something about it can look like these shoeboxes. This is evangelism, okay? These shoeboxes are going to go with the express purpose of showing love of Jesus Christ so that then the gospel can be presented in these areas, okay? I'm telling you, these shoeboxes might end up in a Muslim country where there's no proclamation of the gospel except what happens through this program. I want to praise God. I think great things are going to happen because of this evangelism that we're doing here today. I think also when you go out to eat and your waitress comes over to serve you or your waiter and you're getting ready to eat, and do you pray over your meal? Do you? Well, if you do, then say, ask that waitress, can I pray for you about anything today? That's another opportunity that could open a huge door. I've been able to present the gospel to people, the entire gospel presentation, because of that one question, can I pray for you today? I've had waitresses break down in tears before and say, I can't believe you asked me today because I'm just going to tell you, it's like the worst day of my life. And yes, I need prayer. And it gives you an opportunity to say, do you know Jesus loves you? Don't have to be a whole lot more complicated than that at first. And then if they, you know, give you an open door, then you can tell that person what God has done for you. So what has God done for you? Once you can just think about that first, then it helps propel you in to wanting to tell others about it. Amen? God has done many things for us. Amen? I want you to go home today as your homework assignment. Write down 10 things God's done for you that you're thankful about. We're preparing ourselves for Thanksgiving. Amen? And probably what will happen, once you get up to 10, you're going to want to keep going anyway, so you don't have to stop at 10. But I want you to try to think of 10 things that God's done for you that in ways that He's blessed you. Okay? And this is the last point that I wanted to make on this real quickly. It will require words. I've heard it said, you know, that to witness, you know, that you should witness all the time and use words sometimes. I really think it's going to take some words most of the time, okay? So yeah, we need to be living it. I got that part. You want your living to be consistent with your words. But guys, we've got to stop and take the time to actually speak about Jesus, okay? I know it makes us all nervous, all right? I know it makes us all nervous. Still makes me nervous to this day to bring it up. Guys, I'm going to tell you something, though. If we pray first, and then God puts somebody in our path, then assume He put them there so that they can hear the gospel today. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Amen. I was a walking dead man before I accepted Jesus into my life. Just a way that you can express that. Yeah, doing better than I should be doing. Amen. Yeah. Whenever I ran around with Brother Harold Riley, he's like he loves to witness, you know, to everybody that he can, and they'll ask him how he's doing, and he'll say, terrible, but not as good as I will be. And he starts talking about that he's destined for heaven, and better than he should be, he'll say, something along those lines, you know. And it catches their attention when you say terrible because nobody's really expecting to hear that. You know, they always get the glazed over, oh, it's okay, you know, or whatever. Even though you got tears running down your face, you know, he just goes ahead and says it. Terrible, but better than I should be and not as good as I'm going to be, you know. And so he just uses it as a springboard to begin to present the gospel. So this is the big deal, guys. Okay, all of these 4 points that are on the screen, it's the first step of discipleship. It's the outworking of the Holy Spirit. It will require action. It will require words. It's all because if we're saved, we are all saved to make disciples of all nations. Can I get an amen to that? Jesus left us with that command. Jesus left us with this charge. And Jesus expects us to be doing this when He returns. If He returns in our lifetime, He wants to see us being faithful in this. He said the Son of Man is coming back, but the question is, will He find faith when He returns to the earth? I want Him to find faith in us, in me, in all of us. Okay? This is the outworking of the Holy Spirit. Let's look just a little bit further at that. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. It's on the board, so you won't have to try to get over to there in your Bible. Now, Lord, look on their threats. This is the disciples praying at this time. They've been in trouble for presenting the gospel. They've been threatened by all the authority. Better not do this anymore. And so they go, they get freed from their little interrogation and all this stuff, and they get back together, and let's listen to their prayer. This is their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you see what the filling of the Holy Spirit did for them? It made them bold to speak the word. Guys, do you think our God is any different today than He is here in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31? Why did He shake the place? Because He was pleased by the prayer. They weren't saying, "Lord, look at us. They're being so mean to us. Please stop these mean people." That wasn't their prayer. They said, "Look at their threats, God. Now make us more bold. Because we need to go into this place and we need to evangelize these people. It's their only hope. Look out at the world, guys. It's a messed up place." Amen? We're seeing a lot of messed up stuff. A lot of crazy things happening. People shooting up churches. People shooting up schools when they can get in them. People shooting up families. Getting in a 30-story building and just shooting into a crowd. It makes us frightened. But guys, rather than being frightened, let's take our fear to God and let's just ask Him to give us boldness that we can begin to change this world by the proclamation of the gospel. You see, it's the only thing that's going to change things. Yeah, we need a police force and we need, you know, we got to have somebody to keep the peace. God ordains that. But the most important thing is that the gospel goes out. It's the only thing that's going to change a human heart. We're still killing our unborn babies every day in this country. You know the only thing that's going to change that? For a heart change. Yeah, we call for laws to be changed, but more than that, there needs to be a heart change. What changes a human heart? Only Jesus can change a human heart. And I'm just going to tell you, the only way that's truly going to happen is whenever the Word of God is taken out by His people with boldness. And I'm just going to tell you, when we pray this, God is pleased. When we pray this, God is pleased. Because He will do that very thing. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. I love this. Jesus is talking about asking. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," okay, He uses a comparison. A dad gives their child better than they ask for. Okay, never gives them worse. You know, like if he's wanting a piece of bread, we wouldn't give him something that's detestable, right? Talks about snakes and scorpions and all this stuff. You know, we wouldn't do that to our child. What? We're sinful, okay? We're sinful human beings. Listen to what he says in comparison. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" It's the greatest gift we can ask for. We have the if we have salvation, let's just ask for a greater filling of the Spirit every day, guys. Sure, we have the indwelling presence, but man, I want to be filled up. I want to be controlled by. So ask. He promises to give. And I just tell you, when you got the boldness of the Holy Spirit living in you, you ain't going to have a problem talking to people. You know, yeah, you might get a little nervous at first, but he just won't let you be settled until you do. You know, just it's part of being thankful. When you're thankful for your new car, what do? You get out of it and people say, "Hey, man, I like your new car. It's pretty nice." Oh, yeah, you tell them all about it. We tell them about everything it's got in it. And, you know, hey, how about your new salvation in Christ? It's new again this morning, isn't it? Wow, how come you got that smile on your face today? Tell them. Because Jesus lives in my heart. Let them look at you like you're crazy for a minute. It's okay. Is it the truth? Guess what? They're going to want to hear more. Some point, someday, there's going to be some time in their life that's going to mean something to them. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. Action and words, okay? We're going to put all this together because, see, we got to actually be active in this process and we actually have to use words. And I don't think there's any better example than Jesus with the woman at the well. Let's look at John chapter 4 in your Bibles, Starting at verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Okay, you guys, probably a lot of you have already heard about this, but I'm going to go ahead and give us some background on this anyways. Jews never went through Samaria. Jews hated the Samaritans, okay? And the Samaritans hated the Jews. They all were from the original, you know, descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, but at one point there was a split in the kingdom, and so though the Samaria became the capital of that new kingdom, and they were very heavily involved in idol worship. They turned away from going to Jerusalem to do their worship like they were supposed to, and they started intermarrying with people of all these different countries and faiths. Okay? So a Jew wouldn't even, they'd go like a bunch of miles, a much harder route and everything else just to stay away from that place because they felt like it defiled them to even go through it. What does Jesus do? He goes through it. This was an unusual thing. Okay? So, it's because he had a purpose in it. His purpose was evangelism. He had some good news to tell the people in Samaria. Okay? And so let's see. But he needed to go through Samaria, verse 4 and verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. A city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, time out. Background number 2. Not only would a Jewish man never talk to a Samaritan, but a Jewish man would never talk to a woman who was by themselves anyways, much less a Samaritan woman. Okay? This was very, very countercultural what was going on here. But what I want you to understand is this is a great example to us, guys, of how to take the gospel to a people who don't know about it yet. Okay? I guarantee you he had an agenda. He had a plan in mind of where he was going with all this. But he had to first be in action, and then he had to speak. These things had to happen. So, he's hanging out there by the well about the sixth hour, which would have been about noon, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen. It's really unusual the way he's going about this. See, I'm a real straight line guy, and I'm a real straightforward guy, and I just want to go straight in and just get to the point. Anybody else, can you relate to that? You know, just get to the point. What's Jesus doing here? He's taking his time. He's enjoying the ride. He's just talking to her about physical things, but it's all going to come back around to a spiritual reality. He's already alluding that there's something special about what he can offer her, right? This woman's just tired of dropping this bucket all the way down in this deep well and having to drag it back up. She's got her mind on one thing, okay? But Jesus, I think more than being thirsty, he just wanted to have a conversation with her. He could have went over and got him a drink of water. I mean, he's God in the flesh. I think he could have handled it. But you see, Jesus is saying, I want to have a conversation with this lady. I care about her. So he was even willing to get out of his what would be a man's comfort zone and ask her for something. How many of you are uncomfortable asking somebody for something? I can do it myself, right? I got some pride here. I can do this myself. You know, sometimes whenever we go ahead and ask somebody else to come alongside and help us, it might actually open an opportunity for us to be able to talk to them, for us to be able to minister to them. You see, sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. So he's telling her the spiritual reality, and she still ain't getting it. We look at verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." So she's still thinking physical water. He's talking about spiritual water at this point, right? Okay, don't worry, he'll get around to it. It takes him a while, but he's building a relationship right now. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Now, again, Jesus knows everything. Keep that in mind, okay? Jesus knows everything. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Whoa. Man, he's really getting to the point here, right? He's not doing it to condemn her. He's doing it because he knows her pain. He knows this is painful for her. He knows this is what has brought her shame. This is why she comes to the well when nobody else is there. Everybody else is at work right now. The well is very private for her. He knows these things. And you see, rather than condemning her, he's coming to her point of need. You know the food baskets we're going to take out? That ain't as much about food as it is about the opportunity to share the love of Christ.
Amen.
You see, we're going to meet a person at their point of need so that then we can share the spiritual reality that Jesus loves them. It's a lot easier. You know what disaster relief ministry is about? It ain't so much about fixing people's homes. It's about sharing the spiritual need. You see what I'm saying? We know their real point of need is to feel the love of Christ. Whether they be a believer or non-believer, that's going to be our opportunity to show them. But it's so much easier to show them when we're actually providing for their physical need at the same time. You see, he brings out this reality, and she's honest. Praise God. And he says, "You've well said. You've actually spoken truly." Verse 19, "And the woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and now Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know the Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am He.'" You see, guys, he met her at her point of need. He took the time to connect with her and to talk to her. And then he revealed who he truly is. How do we evangelize today? Same way. We meet a person at their point of need. They may not even know it's their point of need yet. But we help them to make that journey to that point of need. And then we reveal that Jesus is the answer. And at this point, his disciples came. And they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Guys, this is all part of the discipleship process here. Even after we've walked with them for a while, sometimes they still don't get it. It's okay. Be patient with them, okay? All right? Even Jesus, the perfect teacher, he still had to keep working with them, all right? They're still thinking, man, our stomachs need to be filled. He's watching this woman leave her water pot. She quit worrying about the physical water. Remember, that's all she was worried about at first. That was that one thing she needed. She quit worrying about that because she found the one thing, Jesus, who meant everything. What does she do? She goes out to tell everybody she can find. And you see, he's waiting for her to come back while his disciples are just all worried about filling their stomach. And he says, I got food you guys don't know nothing of. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Yeah. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Wow. I got to keep reading. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you have said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Guys, that's it in a nutshell. That's our job. It's no different than what we just saw. What Jesus did, and then what the woman did. And then that'll be what we do, and that'll be what our disciples do. You see, it just keeps going down the line. They tell what they believe, the person entertains it and then goes and experiences it for themselves. And then whenever they become a true believer because they have had an experience with the living Savior, then they will tell others as well. So this is how it goes. This is how it works. We make the connection at the point of the person's need. And Jesus is our perfect example here. So let's kind of go over what he did here again. Number one, he took the time to make conversation. How many of us want to take the time to make conversation? I don't know about the rest of you guys, but sometimes I get in too big of a hurry. The conversation just gets in the way. We got to take the time for the conversation. How many of you get upset when you get in the slow line at Walmart? I am in too big of a hurry for this. You guys ever feel that way? Don't ever go to Walmart with me, because if you go to the line I'm in, I will guarantee you it'll be the slowest line there. I don't know what happens, but every time I get in it, it becomes slow. But you see, I think what God's doing is he's making me slow down so I'll have some conversation with people. You can do it right there in the line. Okay? Then number two, direct the conversation to the spiritual. You're going to have to actually be proactive about this. This won't just accidentally happen. Okay? We got to actually make it do this. All right? We get to talking, right? And then, hey, how about this one? I used to love to fish, and I run into people that love to fish. And you know what will happen? I'll say, well, you know, I used to fish all the time. And they'll say, what happened? Right there it is. That's my chance. We see, I became a fisherman. What do you mean by that? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he's changed my life. Amen? Amen. There's the conversation. Just getting started right there. Now, if they reject me at that point, I don't have to continue on. I'm not going to force them. But I've had plenty of people want to talk more, right? So we direct the conversation to the spiritual, then we pose questions. You notice Jesus is asking questions here. Maybe not with a question mark, but he knows what he's doing. Hey, go get your husband. Right? He knew. You know, he was all-knowing and he proved it. She goes, yeah, I don't have one. Yeah, you're right. In fact, you had five, and the one you're with now really isn't your husband, right? That seemed a little intrusive, didn't it? But it's just the truth, and he knew that that was what was separating her from her relationship that she could have with God. So he got right to her point of need, and he revealed who he was through that. He posed some questions. He let her answer, right? Number four, let them talk. See, this is another, you know what? I got a pretty good idea. I know what Mormons believe, all right? I've studied up on it. But you see, whenever I run into somebody and says that they're a Mormon, you know what I do? Not that I'm the perfect example. I take my example from the perfect one, right? What he did, what I do at that point is I'll just ask questions. And I'll say, so what does a Mormon believe? I don't try to tell them what I think a Mormon believes. I ask them, what does a Mormon believe? You know what? Sometimes they're even wrong. I run into some that don't really know that much what Mormons believe. They just identify themselves as, because maybe their mom or dad was. All right? Guess what? Some Baptists don't know what they believe either, right? So like, guys, people are people, and so I'll just let them talk. I got into one discussion with somebody that's connected to my wife's family, and he said he was a Mormon, and I let him talk for a little while. And pretty soon, all of our souls were getting in the soul river and blending together and ending up somewhere, and people were being reincarnated. That ain't what Mormons believe! You see, he had his own flavor going on with it. So he wasn't really a Mormon. It was just interesting to let him talk. So he believed that people do have souls. He does believe there's something after death. And so I chose those two things, and we just started to go toward Jesus with this, okay? And so let them talk and let God do the work in their hearts, number five, and then direct them to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, okay? I think this is it. This is our example. Jesus gives it to us. We'll try to find some ways that we can put some tools to this, but I think that if we just go down this list and just do this with our relationships with other people, we're going to have opportunities to tell them. In fact, we look at Paul. He's a perfect example. I won't go into the scripture, but it's in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 34. You can read it yourself. Just jot that down. But this is where Paul goes to Athens, and he sees that they're like worshiping all kinds of idols. And he don't get up there and go, "You bunch of heathens, you're all going to hell." No, that isn't what he says. He gets up there and he goes, "I've looked around your city, and I can see you're very religious people." Boy, isn't that an unusual way to approach them? Now, he wasn't saying that they had the right religion. He could just tell they were religious. They were worshiping something. And then he goes, in fact, I noticed that inscription, "To the unknown God." Here, I'm here to tell you who this God, who the real God is. You want to know him? I'm going to introduce you to him. Sounds a little bold and a little arrogant, but you know what? It's the truth. And he got an opportunity, and some of them believed and went on to follow. Speak in a language they can understand. That's our lesson. If he had just kept speaking in a language they didn't understand, he would have missed them. But he went ahead and went to their point of need, and he looked at what they had, and he spoke in their language. He said, "You're a religious people. Now I'm going to show you the true God. I would assume you want to worship, and that's why you're doing this." 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." It's God who brings the increase. So let's trust God to bring the increase. Let's just do our part. We're either sowing the seed, or maybe we're watering something that somebody else already sowed, or maybe, guys, we get to do the harvest. That's cool when you get to be part of the harvest. Amen? Leading somebody in that step toward God where they receive. But let me tell you something. If you get to be part on that, it ain't you that did it. It's God who did it. And there's a whole bunch of other factors that he done factored into it by the time you got to that point, okay? So it's never for any of us to boast. Here's why I want to end the service here today. First of all, can't do none of this until you have the relationship with Jesus, okay? God can use you, don't get me wrong. He used a donkey to speak for him once. So I'm absolutely sure he can use, like Brother Bill always says, a dummy. He can use me. But, guys, here's the deal. To really be fully used of God and you get benefit from it as well, we need to get surrendered to him. Okay? We need to get in a place where we can be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So this would be a time of invitation that you can just repent of anything God puts on your heart. Turn your life over to Jesus. What does being saved really mean? It means giving up your will to your life and letting Jesus' will for your life be what points the rest of your life in its direction. Letting him be your Lord. Letting him be your boss. Letting him be your king. And actually willingly following him from that point. Acknowledging he died for you and he's the only way of salvation. That's That's how you start in a relationship with Him. But here's the rest of the altar call today. If we go back to one of the previous slides from Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, we remember what they prayed that pleased God. They prayed that He would make them bold, that He would do miracles through them. I want the church who knows you're in Christ, who wants this to happen in their life, to come to the altar this morning. Just come to the altar. Do you want God to make you bold? Do you want to please God? Then let's come to the altar this morning, and with even before we have any music, we're just, because I want everybody to have a chance to come up here, and I'm going to pray over us that exact prayer. If you can't get on your knees, I understand. You can stand. If you can get on your knees, then I think it's a great posture to take, because God is much higher and more deserving of our humility, for sure. If you can't come forward and you're praying it back there in your seat, God hears that too. It's fine. This is a position of humility and agreement and unity in this church this morning. And so I'm going to kneel down right here, and I'm going to pray over us at this moment. Dear Father in heaven, O God, hallowed be Your name, Lord. Your name is holy. We don't have to make it holy, Lord. You're already holy. But God, I pray we'd recognize Your holiness. And Lord, I pray that You'd hear the threats that the enemy is making in this world today, Lord. And You would respond by making us bold. God, make us bold to live our Christianity out. Make us bold and loving to help people at their point of need for the sake of Christ. That we would be willing to sacrifice some of our time, Lord. We'd be willing to sacrifice our lives, Lord, and our plans, and let You work through us. God, make Your servants bold here today at Cadet Baptist Church. Give us boldness to act, boldness to speak. Lord, boldness that we wouldn't allow anybody to make us shrink back in fear of speaking of Jesus and living it out in our life. From this day forward, God, forgive us that we have been too timid at times. We've all been guilty at one time or another of shrinking back for fear of man. Lord, we may be just afraid that they're just not going to like us when we get done. We may be afraid that we might lose a friend. But Lord, what's more important, that friendship or their eternal soul? God, help us to consider the eternal first. Help us to see it. God, it's going to hurt us sometimes when we've got this burden to carry, when we see a lost person and we remember they're destined for hell if they don't know Jesus. That might burden us, but Lord, help us to be willing to be bold and let You use us, God. Let us see every opportunity to speak to someone as a divine opportunity given by God. And God, I pray that You're pleased with our prayer this morning and our commitment to be bold. Lord, teach us how to win souls to Christ. Lord, You've already done the work. We don't doubt that. But God, what we need is for You to help us to be bold. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guys, do you expect great things to happen? I expect to see God move in powerful ways. Let's give Jesus a hand because He's doing something. Amen. Guys, we're going to give you an opportunity as well. Any kind of silent prayer that you might want to bring forward, or if you want somebody to pray with you about anything, as we do this last song of invitation, we can all stand. Whatever may be on your heart and you need somebody to pray with you, or you just want to pray at this altar, it's still open. So please, sing along. Have Thine own way, Lord.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. O Lord, my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Hold us and just make us in whatever he wants us to be. It'll be in his image, believe me. But we just need to be willing to go with him. It's so awesome, the experience that we have whenever we do that. We're going to have birthdays here in just a minute, but I want to pray one more thing over you, and then I'm going to hand it over to JD for the birthdays. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, even as we have prayed for this boldness, I pray that you would do mighty miracles through these folks that are right here, Lord. It's not going to be them doing it. Never was. Never was the disciples doing it either, Lord. It was always you. But God, you still heal. You're still the God who heals. You're still the God who does mighty, miraculous things, and you always do it for the same good purpose. It's not just to help that person. It's to show them who Jesus is. So God, I pray that we'll be willing to be bold in our proclamation that you're still the God who does these things. When you do them in their lives, Lord, they'll believe it's you. I pray that they will believe it's you. And then they can turn their life over to you and find eternal salvation. Their physical problems ain't their main problem, Lord. We know that. For a lost person, their main problem is the spiritual problem. You're using that physical problem to give an opportunity for that spiritual problem to be helped. So help us to be there and be bold, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother.